Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Petcher. I'm your host. And today we have a couple of guests from the Davis community. We have Julie Reeder, who is the Marketing Communication Relations Administrator, and we have Angie Barr, who's an administrator for Davis. For those of you who are not familiar, the Davis community is a campus that's kind of pretty much dedicated to the care of seniors in many, many different ways, and I want to talk about that today with both of our guests. It seems like for the past few years there have been changes galore at the Davis community, which we're going to get into later on in the show. But before we talk about those changes, can you give us some background about the founding of the Davis community, where it's been, and where it is now?
I'm happy to do that, Tom. Thank you. Back in the early 60s, Champion McDowell Davis, who was the president of Atlantic Coastline Railroad, in his retirement years decided he was going to do something for his community. And he owned this property near the Intracoastal Waterway called Porter's Neck. It was part of his family's plantation. And he decided to create a nursing facility for seniors, particularly those in the railroad industry, but he suddenly realized this was something that the entire community needed. So he created a foundation and also created a nonprofit organization that is Cornelia Nixon Davis Incorporated, which is our parent company. In 1966, July of that year, we opened an 87-bed nursing facility, and from that time on, it's been continuous movement. We stayed pretty much the same as a skilled nursing facility, just adding more beds until it became a 199-bed facility. But then in 2000, we added Champions Assisted Living, and then we also added another addition to Champions soon after, within 2 years. And then about 4 years ago, we decided to even expand more into our rehabilitation and wellness opportunities.
You truly are a campus. I mean, there's no getting around that. You walk on, it's literally like walking onto a college campus. It's just the students are a little bit older, grayer hair. What services are offered in the Davis community across the board? And talk about the continuum that sometimes people will follow as they kind of enter life at Davis.
Sure, Tom. We have, as Julie mentioned, in our Rehabilitation and Wellness Pavilion, we have individuals coming on campus from the community who enjoy memberships at our gym and participate in land classes and pool classes and aquatics. A lot of those individuals enjoy our outpatient therapy services as well, and then don't live on our campus but return to their homes in the community as you would expect. But for individuals that need a little more care than that, we have assisted living services in an apartment-style living at Champions, where we have the ability to have about 148 individuals that reside with us there. And then as we move through the continuum, as individuals have more needs functionally, need more assistance with just their daily living, we have the skilled nursing facility that is available for those services. And those are generally individuals that reside with us for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. And then also in our wellness pavilion, we have a large group of individuals on campus every day who come in just solely for short-term inpatient stay after hospitalization, with elective surgeries that have been completed, and with every intention of returning home.
So to continue that college campus metaphor, you have resident students and you have commuter students.
There you go. That's right. And it is 54 acres, so there's plenty of space for everyone to walk through our trails and feel like they're on a college campus.
Was it 54 acres from the very beginning?
We have been acquiring a little bit more of the land mm-hmm. from the foundation over time, and I think we're just about at the end of our area there. So 54 acres is about the size we're going to stay.
But there's still more room to build, and
absolutely.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. Your website has some great information resources on it, and I'd like to discuss how the resources you have and how they can help educate the community, not just about Davis, but about the whole concept of aging.
Well, we do have a blog now on our website, so you can find out information about what it's like to care for someone who might have dementia or in declining health, or maybe even how to take the car keys away when that time comes. That's a very difficult time for many families. We also have a Facebook page link, mm-hmm. and it's easy to go to our Facebook page right from our main www.thedaviscommunity.org. But we also will have postings about events that we're having on our campus. There's information pretty much just to help the community, because we feel that it's part of our job.
Mm-hmm. The blogs are almost, I was going over them earlier in the week when I was just doing some research before having you on the show. The blogs are almost a sort of series of tutorials on how to deal with aging issues, whether it's yourself, your parents, loved ones, whatever. And they're well written, they're readable, they're informative, and they're frankly interesting. It's great to have that resource there for the community, and I'm assuming that as the website gets more and more enhanced, you're getting more and more visitors too as well, which is all for the better.
Absolutely. We've had a number of opportunities lately to even go onto our local newspaper and do a landing page there so that people can go straight from the newspaper into some of our blog information. It's just very helpful for someone who might be struggling with those kinds of issues.
When should someone begin thinking about senior living, assisted living, or skilled nursing? And what thought process do you find people oftentimes go through to get there? Both the individuals themselves who might start to realize that some sort of assisted living might be helpful, but also family members. How do they broach the topic? Angie?
Well, I'll tell you, we're seeing a lot of our wellness clients that are these commuter residents.
Yes.
That you referred to. And we have services for them. A lot of those will work with our wellness coordinator. They'll work with therapists. We have an opportunity where the pharmacy engages in looking at all of an individual's home medication. It's sort of a brown bag day.
Mm-hmm.
of watching people and monitoring people and seeing how they're doing. And so little signs, you know, we start to see them in our wellness center. People are in the community, family members begin to see those little change in memory, those little changes in cognition, or mom or dad is having difficulty getting to the restroom independently. Julie touched on the car keys, mm-hmm. not quite sure how we're going to get from point A to point B, forgetting things, changes in patterns, changes in behavior. And we encourage people to, you know, engage early in those conversations of, what do I want for my life? How do I want to live the last years of my life? What do I want that to look like? And get out in the community and look. You know, even beyond the Davis community, see what you're interested in. Do you like apartment style living? Do you prefer another style living? Do you enjoy the campus? Do you enjoy having a building that's freestanding? And really evaluating options very early. And with families, evaluating what those wishes look like. We talk a lot about advanced directives and making wishes known and talking about those sorts of things with families so that you're not making a decision at a critical moment when you've had an event that has occurred. And so we have lots of individuals that come in to look at those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. We often see around the holiday period, children may be coming in from different areas of the country and suddenly see mom and dad or maybe one of the surviving spouses not being able to cook properly. They maybe have lost weight. They're not keeping their medications up to date. It's very difficult for someone to come in to see that. So that's when we usually get a lot of calls. But we made our campus really inviting to the public so you can come in early, because most people don't just drop by a nursing facility
right.
because they want to see it. They're there because there's a need. So if we can start making that process a little bit easier by having people come onto the campus for swimming or exercise or nutrition or wellness classes, then they begin to be a part of our family. Then they're comfortable when they do have an issue or maybe need physical therapy for maybe a little arm or a shoulder issue. So that when the real need comes for assisted living or skilled care, it's a natural progression.
I've detected there's a certain energy when you walk on campus, and it's all the more striking because a lot of the folks who are displaying that energy are in their 80s and 90s. But when you visit the campus, there's a lot of smiles, there's a lot of hellos, people kind of go out of their way. There just seems to be a really, really good spirit there, which is far, far removed than that sort of dark sense we had back in the day of what a nursing facility is like. You should be very, very proud of that, and I'm sure that you are.
I'll tell you, nobody grew up saying they couldn't wait till they moved to the nursing home. and so we've had great opportunities to create that environment where people don't see the nursing home as sort of the end of their lives, that mm-hmm. it's a place to live and it's a place to improve and it's a place to function and it's a place for wellness. And so we work hard on the campus to create that attitude that it's really what you want it to be.
And I can give you a great example. We had someone move from, and she was not quite really needing the skilled nursing care, but said she wanted to come in before she had the major decline. But since she's been with us, she now runs our gift shop. She works out in our gym 3 days a week, and I think she's in much better shape now at 96 than she was at 92. So, you know, the social aspects of having people to talk to every day, maybe to sit on our front porch, mm-hmm. rock a little bit, hear some music, to have some conversations in our library with people who have some similar interests. It really is a very vibrant community.
We all know that the Wilmington, a certainly is increasingly a retirement destination. And people who retire in their 60s or 70s are eventually going to be in their 80s and their 90s. And so there's a real care community here in the Wilmington area. How does Davis differentiate itself? A lot of good ones, obviously, and in some ways you're competing for a market. How do you differentiate yourself in a way that says Champions is the place to go?
Well, we really enjoy a person-centered environment from the standpoint of, as I said earlier, we want your life to be what you want your life to be. We work hard not to create a cookie-cutter approach where assisted living looks like this and skilled nurse, because those don't always conjure up great images
right.
for individuals. And so we have differentiated ourselves by saying we're going to take our organization, and Julie and I like to say we've sort of flipped it upside down, and instead of having a structure that we expect people to fit into when they join our campus, we talk to them about what do they want it to look like, what structure would they enjoy, how do they want to live, and we challenge ourselves to respond to what their needs are versus asking them to fit into our environment.
And this could be something as simple as maybe a night watchman used to be up in the middle of the night, and in a normal nursing facility, it would be you need to be in bed by
right.
a certain time. But in this kind of situation, we look at that person's individual needs and their background and history and say, you know, we need to make arrangements for that. So,
And you let the CNA staff know that that's indeed what's
going
to happen.
Absolutely, because,
Smith.
Of course, we're 24-hour-a-day
right.
care with skilled nursing all through those hours. So we're able to help him if that kind of person maybe wants to go and check the doors and
mm-hmm.
find out if he was a night watchman, maybe some of those characteristics are still there. Or someone who's always been an early riser, if they want breakfast at 5:30, they can mm-hmm. get breakfast at 5:30.
So strict regimentation is not where you're at all.
Absolutely not.
Smart.
Those silos have been totally gone. And I think the happiest day in our facility was when we took the sledgehammers to our serving trays in our kitchen, and we stopped taking 30 minutes to get the meals from the kitchen to the area, and now within 5 minutes they can have the meal they choose.
Hot.
Exactly right. And delicious, actually.
Yep.
You can tell on campus that everybody enjoys the meals. They don't want to miss them.
Julie, you had referenced earlier about 4 years ago when the rehab facility opened up, and that's actually a time that I became more familiar with the Davis community, and I was dumbstruck by that facility. Just brag about it a little bit. Tell us what's in there.
Well, first of all, when you come in, you see a gorgeous piece of local art. There is a large 15-foot bronze tree with beautiful flying herons out of copper,
right.
copper and bronze. So when you see that, it's already a welcoming opportunity. And you see in the lobby some of the folks having coffee together. We have a Tuesday and Thursday group of gentlemen who have lost their wives who come in, and they set up a little table and have coffee and chat together. Then you might see someone heading off to the pool with their towel over their shoulders and saying they're just coming from their aerobics class with Joe, who's our wellness coordinator. Or people coming in who have known each other for a while getting physical therapy. I can truly say I have experienced all five of our services, and I have received those kinds of care through my own family and my own needs when I've had some physical therapy needs. So it really feels like a family. But we also have a very large gym for our inpatients and for outpatients. And we don't just do a group class. You have a one-on-one opportunity in a beautiful facility with gorgeous views of fountains and bird life outside. And our rooms are all private. They all have private baths. We have a library and computer area in the rehab center as well as in the other facilities. And we have a dining area just for the people who are coming in for rehab, because they're there for short term and they really don't feel like they want to spend the time in the skilled nursing area. They're with people who know that they're going to be able to go home
right, right.
and be rehabilitated.
Last year, you completed construction on the first phase of your direction towards what is now known as the household model of care conversion. And just this month, you're now moving residents into the second phase. First of all, Angie, maybe you can speak to this. What is the household model, and how does it differ from traditional nursing facility protocols?
Well, the household model of care is designed to build just that, a home. Instead of creating an institutional environment that is very driven by departmental needs and employee needs for structure and regulation, it's centered around resident choice. It is centered around maintaining a regulatory compliance, because certainly we're a very regulated industry, but finding ways to make those regulations work for what residents desire in their lives. And so we have worked very hard to build a home, a physical space that is a home that has privacy, is a very important component of that, so that individuals have private space where they can get out of sort of what would have been a traditional hubbub in a nursing facility, mm-hmm. and to create an environment where they have dining opportunities and sort of a kitchen access opportunity that they would have at home, so they can create and build their choice into their daily routine. And so to be able to build those spaces that look like a home, that are furnished comfortably like a home, that just don't resemble those old institutional nursing facilities. But even bigger than that, changing our organizational structure so that we are building a home instead of building a nursing home, and building a facility that has those institution components to it. So eliminating traditional departments and designing workflow around the home and around residents, and asking individuals to cross-train in a variety of areas that would allow them to respond immediately to resident needs, versus having to work through a typical departmental structure and organizational structure that would involve layers of management and administrators to bless all of these sorts of things. And we empower our employees with different types of leadership training and ability to learn the new skills so that they feel like they can make those decisions. So it's a combination of a beautiful physical environment, but also a structure that's conducive to responding to residents at the point of service.
Mm-hmm. And every one of our households is beautifully decorated so that when people come into the homes, they feel like they're in either an Alpine Lodge or a beautiful facility in the Northeast with lighthouses, or even the old Wilmington charm. Mm-hmm. So we've been very careful in making sure that our designers understand that each household has to have a different feel as well as look. And we knew we were successful in just even a few short weeks when we were taking in some people to see one of the new households, and the residents piped up and said, "Well, Angie, what's wrong with you? Aren't you going to offer our guests some pie?"
Oh, that's great.
So they have taken ownership. Yeah, this is their household, and it's great to see someone get up and fix himself a cup of tea, or feel comfortable going into the snack area and getting some yogurt if they want it, instead of sitting quietly waiting for someone to wait on them. They're empowered, and they come alive a little bit more.
Dorm life again.
Absolutely.
Back to that metaphor, back to college, right?
But no soap operas.
I was lucky enough to be able to tour the most recent facility, the household model facility. And now this was a tour, and so there were no residents in place at that point. But it was literally, I was joking earlier, it was literally like walking through a cruise ship. It has such a level of detail. And fineness is the only way I can describe it to it. It's a very, very welcoming, comfortable place to be. What I'm really looking forward to, and I think I'll take you up on your invitation, Julie, is do another tour and do a tour with the residents actually there. I want to see it kind of humming and what the kind of traffic is like, what the movement's like, because these folks are really living together. I mean, they have their own bedrooms and their own bathroom facilities, but they're literally living together, and I'm sure that friendships form. There's a social dynamic that takes place there, and that kind of changes over time as people come and people go. It must be fascinating for you as professionals who work in the field at Davis to kind of watch that all evolve.
It's amazing to watch it evolve, to watch individuals have those relationships, not just between residents and their family members, with the staff, to see those relationships change from staff member and resident to friends.
Absolutely.
And these individuals are important to each other, and they celebrate things in their homes like employee birthdays and resident birthdays and granddaughter graduations.
Get to know
and
each other's
birth
families.
And,
yep.
And they just know things about each other that in the old model they wouldn't have known.
And in our family nights, which they have in each of our households, the families come in, they may have dinner cooked there, they may do a potluck, they may do a cookout outside. But instead of coming in and having maybe some concerns or gripes about things that really aren't that difficult, but maybe something they don't have control over, they feel much more comfortable now saying, you know, can we maybe do this a different mm-hmm. way? And as a unit, we sit there and talk together and say, yeah, of course we can do that. We just need that conversation, and people feel very empowered to come up with those suggestions and concerns of their own.
Just dawned on me as we were talking through that social dynamic. I hadn't planned on asking this, but I'm going to ask it anyway because this is an opportunity for you to tell the full story. When a resident passes away, how does that go? How is that dealt with by the residents? Is it marked in some special way, or is it change across the board?
It is. In fact, we are continuing to evolve in that process because in the old way, you passed away, the funeral home arrives, and you typically would exit through a back door, and yep. we would try not to impede another space and right. make them feel uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. But today, residents are demanding to know. They expect to be part of that process. They want to grieve for their friend.
Absolutely.
And so we find those exits happening through the front door of the home. And it's a celebrated moment where everybody recognizes how fabulous this person was, and we're really thinking about what that meant to the home.
And we're also developing some traditions. For example, having a special blanket or quilt that's made for that person. And then everyone in the household gets to come in and spend a little time in their own way to have a vigil with that person. And, of course, we are providing bedside music during this process, so the entire community knows when they hear the music that perhaps there is something mm-hmm. happening, and that they are much more respectful and aware. And I see a kindness truly going across the entire community, staff, residents, family members, because they know they're all and perhaps going to be in this position soon. And we're aware of those final hours and those final rituals that we need to do for each family.
It makes so much sense, I mean, to have it be that way, to kind of actually celebrate all aspects of life, including the end of life. And when I say celebrate, I don't mean necessarily joyously, but just recognize that. And as I said earlier, mark that. That's great to hear. There was a recent announcement of a partnership between the Davis community and Cambridge Village Senior Living. They are building a fairly significant campus of their own over on Eastwood, just off of Military Cutoff on your way to Rice Hill Beach. Cambridge is independent living, but as I understand it, the two entities, Davis and Cambridge, have created a strategic relationship to bring some of your services to their future residents. Why are you doing that? How is it going to work, and what will it look like when they open a year from now?
Well,
Angie.
We had an opportunity to look at our household model of care and talk about opportunities to bring that further into the community. And so we are embarking on moving 20 of our skilled nursing facility beds to Cambridge Village, and we'll be building just that, a household for 20 residents there on the campus, so that individuals that have lived at Cambridge Village who need an increased level of service will be able to stay on their campus, maintain the relationships that have become important to them, and we will be able to, again, to spread the word that long-term care can be better and looks different, and that is the household model of care.
Right.
And we'll also have individuals from the community that may enjoy those services as well. We're also partnering with, from a wellness standpoint, we will be providing some services there on the campus as well. We've had such good response to our wellness model and to our classes and to that component of exercise that we'll be providing those outpatient therapy services on that campus as well. So sort of working with Cambridge Village to create a bit more of a continuum for those individuals as well.
I know they're very excited to have you out there as well. And speaking of wellness pavilions, their gym facility is going to apparently be unbelievable. I mean, they were bragging on that big time when they were on the show. That's actually segues into my next question, which is what trends are either or both of you seeing in senior living besides the household model? What's this going to look like in next generation? Not even that far along, maybe in 10, 15 years.
Wellness, wellness,
yeah,
wellness.
Yeah, yeah.
Early recognition of being engaged and being fit longer, which is why we originally built our gym services. People, you already see that really happening. And I think aging in place. We've got a location in Porter's Neck. We'll be at Cambridge Village. But the reality is there's a lot of people that still want to stay home and can mm-hmm. stay home. So I think you'll see more services supporting individuals at home.
Who come off campus for a couple hours a day. Right?
Absolutely. And figuring out how you can support that with both skilled services mm-hmm. and non-skilled services.
Well, right.
Things as simple as grocery shopping and transportation and all of those kinds of things. So I think, you know, there will always be individuals that need independent living or desire assisted living or need skilled nursing facility. But I think aging in place and ways to support that, that's going to be what we see. And then as we see individuals that need to be with assisted living and skilled nursing, we're going to see them more and more recognizing that they can have a better quality of life in those environments.
The resources are there now.
That makes all the difference.
Right.
And it's a matter of providers making a choice to provide a different service and to rethink that.
Further expansion on the Davis campus? What's going on?
Well, we are hoping to not see too many more bricks and mortar beyond our project through 2016, but really to focus our efforts on building that campus of wellness and perfecting that household model so that we can present that, you know, across the nation and hopefully see more providers take that approach.
But we do plan, Angie, I know you're taking a deep breath every time we talk about something new, but right now our current area where we have our main dining room for the residents and a gift shop, a chapel, and our administrative offices, we really see that as becoming town center. So we will probably do some major renovations in 2016 to create a space where people want to come for a restaurant, maybe fine dining for people out in the community to come and be a part of our campus. So if residents want to leave their household, they can come over to the main beauty shop instead of the beauty shop in their household, or they want to come over to the mail area or the gift shop, which probably will be expanded at that point, and give them many opportunities to just feel like they're part of a community.
It's a whole new world, isn't it?
It certainly
it really
is.
I want to wind up. I noticed on your website that the Cavani Quartet is playing tomorrow on the campus, and there was a little note there saying that it was a special arrangement or that they really want to stop by. How did that come about? Will there be more of that?
We are so fortunate to be a not-for-profit organization because we've been in the community for 48 years now. But Chamber of Music Wilmington was able to have the Cavani Quartet come to Wilmington, and they wanted to do outreach to a skilled facility. I happened to know the director who called and said, would you like to have them come? And of course, our arms are open, and we can't wait to hear that. We have many people who have musical backgrounds who look forward to being able to be in a fine, world-class concert again.
Will there be a big audience, you think?
I think there's going to be a great audience, but if people from the community would like to come out, we would make space. We can open the doors and add chairs outside. I think the Cavani Quartet ladies would be very happy to see that. And may I add also on July 10th, we're going to open our campus again for a blood drive, a wellness opportunity with an opportunity for you to bring your drugs in that you no longer need and want to be destroyed. So we're going to have a health and wellness fair. We'll be doing many more of these kinds of community outreach events so we can bring people onto our campus.
How do people learn more about the Davis community and all the good things you're doing? Website, Facebook, just give us some contact points.
Facebook page is the Davis Community. Our website is thedaviscommunity.org. Remember, we are nonprofit, so it has the ORG. Our telephone number is 910-686-7195 or 686-6462 for Champions Assisted Living.
I want to thank Angie Barr, and I want to thank Julie Reeder for joining us on the show today. Great stories coming out of the Davis community, and we expect to hear more down the road as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.